and my benefit. So how can you walk in, how has your destiny been fulfilled today? And pretty much it was just selfishness on my part. Amen. And I had to repent. But when our eyes of our understanding has been enlightened, and we'll be able to recognize the Spirit of God when He starts talking to us, we'll understand and we'll know right away that we don't been talking too much with the world, and He'll tap you on your shoulder. He'll let you know that this conversation's gone too far. Shut up and talk about me. And then you start ministering until you get in the habit of when you show up, you start ministering. And if you can't minister, then you just be quiet. You know, and they got to the point where I had to physically remove myself from different rooms. You know, I walk into the conversation. Oh, that's not the right one. Let me go back this way. You know, unless the Holy Spirit said, now you talk. And the reason that it was that has to be that way is after I learned and understood how God was trying to work through me, when the problems arise on the job, they come look for you for help. But they ain't going to come look for you if you've been standing, you know, at the water cooler with them. Yeah, man, she is fine, ain't she? Take them legs out and all that. With my red and ring on. And say, hold on. Got my Bible up under my arm. Yeah, man. Shoot. Now, who you think they going to come talk to? They ain't won't hear me. I sold some seeds all right that day, but I sold some devil seeds. And you got folks that's doing it. And they're unproductive. Amen. All right. So now, you have to get the Word of God sown into your life. The Word of God is the vehicle that is going to transform your life day by day. We said it's the water that is releasing you out of this, that's helping you be released from the pit. And on last week, we said it's the water that's like that river that's totally just day by day flushing and cleansing you. All right. Now, let's go to Matthew 12 and let's look at it. Matthew 12, verse 34. Why do you need to be renewed? Why do you need the Word of God in your eyes and your ears and your mouth? Verse 34 says, O generation of vipers, how can you be in... Now, you know, I like Jesus. And I'm learning how to be like Him. I really am. See, Jesus didn't play. Ain't nobody got time for this sugar-coated, watered-down gospel no more. That's why the world and the body of Christ in the shape it is now. When they showed up, Jesus told them it was called a spade a spade. He didn't say, oh, you generation of some tiny people. He said, oh, you generation of vipers, how can you be an evil? He said, how can you be an evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of thy heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. This is why your mind must be renewed. Because if I was born, if I lived 21 years, see, I was 21, 22 when I got saved. For 22 years, I was trained in the camp of the devil. I knew how to do it well. I got born again. If at that moment I didn't return to Christ and start learning and being renewed, I just would have been a born-again believer living like hell. Because that's all I knew how to do. And the scripture here said, out of the good treasure or the good deposit that has been sown into you, you can only speak and bring forth good things. So if you've not put any word in your life, then when the time and the storms of life hit you, you're going to resort back to the old. You don't know how to do anything else. And if all you know how to do is the evil, I promise you, you will do it. You won't want to, but you won't know no other way. And it'll be an automatic thing to you. So you need to sow the Word of God in there. You need to have your mind renewed so that you can have some new information to function on. You need to be washed. You need to have that old mindset scrubbed, cleaned out, and you need to furnish it with new information so that you can start walking in the light where God is. You can't walk it if you don't know it. And you can't know it if you don't read it. Or hear it. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says that the just, which are all of us that are born again, you're the just, and it says you're going to live how? By faith. So if you're going to live as a just man or a just woman in the earth, you're going to have to do it by the word of God. And if you don't crack this Bible open and read it sometime during the day, you're deceiving yourself. We read on last week, amen? And then it says that you'll give an account for all the silliness that you said and did. Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's by your words. The Amplified Bible says, for by your words you will be justified and acquitted, or by your words you shall be condemned and sentenced or judged. By your words, not by what God said, not by what the devil did, but by what you say and do. I can stand up over you all day long and declare God's blessing, declare God's blessing, declare God's blessing, and you leave out here every Sunday and go home and do the opposite, it won't work. Why? Because two ain't touching agreeing. It can't work. Amen? So, it's by what you say, and you do more, you communicate more than with your mouth. Your lifestyle is a communication. You can say all day long, I'm a blessed covenant man and woman of God. God's blessings upon me, the anointing flowing through my life. I'm so powerful and getting up out of the bed with Joe. You deceived. I'm so anointed and highly favored. Finances just flowing, dripping, past dripping with fatness, and you stealing. You're deceiving yourself. Because there is contamination in your tank, and God's faith is not operating in you properly. Actually, you're operating over in fear. Don't know it. Amen. We're just talking. So it's out of your mouth what you do, your lifestyle. It affects your destiny. If you're a doggone whoremonger, let's just go on flat out get there. If you're a whoremonger, how the heck you gonna go witness to somebody? Out of one side of your mouth, you're talking about your baby, and out of the other side, God's good. Come on. The Bible says bitter and sweet water come out of the same fountain. And it just cracks me up to see these men and these women go to church talking about God is good, and then they all kind of old crazy stuff. And I'm like, well, y'all just dumb. How you going to try to witness to somebody, and you got the crack pipe in your hand? How you going to witness somebody and a needle sticking out your arm? The Bible says, how the heck you going to go help this individual over here that got just a little bitty speck in their eye, and here you got a beam, a whole tree, tree stump sticking out of yours? How you going to see how to get it out? And all you doing, all the devil is doing to you, doing through you, is just causing another individual to get that much farther away from God, because they'll say, if that's the best your God can do, I don't want him. And then when some true born again believers show up like me trying to talk, tell them what God's saying, I got to fight. I got to battle through all your ignorance. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm sorry. But I'm just talking to you. I got to battle through all the ignorance and silliness. Folk come in the church, think that they can lay and drink and still come to church because they saw the pastor down at Billy Bob Church do it. They think it's okay to date the... You know, yeah, I know the pastor's married, but it's okay to hit on the pastor, and I know he's married because the pastor was flirting down there, so, you know, and the wife was flirting too, so it must be okay. You know? And it affects your destiny. And then not only does it affect your destiny, it's affecting theirs. Because you have not, as an individual, renewed your mind. And instead of becoming a light for God, being the light and the salt of the earth, you become a dungun beacon for the devil. And you've been employed by Satan and don't even know it. Or you know it and don't care.
Because you're having too much fun than you think. Amen. All right. Let's look at Proverbs 18 and 21. We have to get right. And the reason, you know, this is not really the way that I had designed to go today, but this is the way we're going. But it's needful because the Bible says that we've been created after God's image and righteousness and true holiness. And this is what the earth is in desperate need of. The Bible says that it is darkness and gross darkness upon the face of the earth. The people are engulfed in it. But the Bible says, but God's light will shine on us. And if God's light is going to shine upon us, then we have to be clean so that it can shine. A lighthouse can shine all day long, but if the windows on the lighthouse are covered and tarnished and run over with dirt and mud caked on, it does no good to the people that need to see it that's approaching danger. And the same thing with your life. God's light is constantly being pumped, but it is do us no good if our lives are stained and scorned with sin. Blatant sin. Now, I'm not talking about stuff that you just have to slip and fall in. That's different. You repent and move on. But I'm talking about the practicers of sin. In the body of Christ, practicing sin. And it's too much of it. And we're works of faith ministries. And I am determined. We are going to this city, and we can't. I don't want to have nobody out on the witnessing team witnessing and stand there for somebody to walk up and be like, but how are you witnessing? I just saw you in the club last night. I know you date my cousin's baby's daddy. You know how they do. See, you think folk don't know you, but they know you. They will sit there and think for days. Like, my sister did it. My sister said she went to a concert. Somebody invited her, got to get some tickets. She went to a concert. And she said she was sitting in the concert, and this lady walked in. She said, I couldn't think. Where did I know that lady? She said she's sitting. She thought finally it popped up in her head. She came past the restaurant drunk. Just flat out drunk. Now she's at the church, oh, with her hands lifted. Now, say for instance, if my sister was a weak Christian, oh well, it's okay to get drunk. I still come. I can drink my ENJ on Friday and praise God on Sunday, and all's good. If she wasn't strong in the bit, see how what you do affects another. Where I say he's going? All right, Proverbs 18 and 21. Proverbs 18 and 20. Let's leave 18 and 20 says. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. Your life is going to be filled with what's coming out of your mouth. And if the word of God's not coming out of your mouth, then you're being filled with whatever you're talking about. The power of life is in your mouth. What you say is what you will have. And if you're not renewed in your mind by God's word, and you're not returning to your stronghold of security and prosperity and being renewed and declaring God's word, if you're not doing that, then you're connecting yourself to a lie, and that lie is going to end you up in destruction every time. Because you will speak death instead of speaking life. But you didn't have to. And the reason that you don't do the right, say the right things or do the right thing is because you haven't renewed your mind. So I'm encouraging you to renew your mind. We got to renew. And sometimes you say, well, I know that scripture. Read it again. You know, it's one thing to quote it, but it's another thing to just flat out open your Bible and read it again. And then when you read the scripture again, read the stuff above it and stuff beneath it. And then you really get connected to that scripture. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Verse verse number 20. Let me just read it right quick to 26. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or the forces of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth. Now, this tells you how you do it. This is how you keep your heart with all diligence. This is how you do it. First of all, you put yourself in the word. Keep it in front of you. Pay attention to it. And then it says, put away from thee a forward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. And when you put away from you a jacked up mouth and perverse lips, then you'll be able to see. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before you. Because when your conversation is right, then your focus becomes it. You focus right. And then when you can focus right, then you know where to walk. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Notice the progression. You study it. You renew it. You renew it. You get full with it. Then you watch your words. Put your forward mouth away from you. And then you, when you put your mouth, get your mouth lined up, then your focus becomes clear. When your focus becomes clear, you see how to walk the path. When you find out how to walk the path, you know when you're in the evil. Oh, this evil over here, I ain't walking that way. I walk over here. The footsteps of a righteous man or of a good man do what? Ordered by the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's look at Romans 10 and 10. I got to speed up here because I'm going to get through it this today. Romans, the 10th chapter. This is why it's important for you to have your mouth right. Have your heart right. Romans 10 and 10 says, for as with the heart the man believes unto righteousness, and as with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. Or as with your mouth. When you open your mouth up and you start talking, you make salvation. You bring shalom into your life. Complete deliverance of your spirit, soul, and body. It's done with your mouth. You get your harvest with your words, your confession. Amen. Here's one of my favorite ones here, Psalms 45. This is a good one here. Psalms 45, verse number 1 says, my heart is indicted in a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. When your mouth lines up with the word of God, you can open your mouth up and talk in such a way that you would touch the king. How do I know that that's so? Got an example for you. No, I always got to have an example. When they had Stephen down there getting stoned, getting ready to kill him, the Bible said he preached to them folks so he was preaching. Now go back and read this over in Acts. Says Stephen got the preaching so good that Jesus himself stood up off the throne. Now you know when Jesus gives you a standing ovation, you don't preach. Read it. It says that Jesus, it said that he was preaching to them, people that was preaching, he was preaching the word of God to them, that they got so mad at him, and they started biting him and just gnawing on him, and said he looked up and he saw Jesus doing what? Standing at the right hand of Father. That means Jesus had got up out of, because the Bible says he seated. The Bible says that he was seated at the right hand of his Father. But when he looked up, he said, oh, Jesus don't stood up and said, oh, that's mine, he mine. Woo, look at him. Go, boy, you better preach. And he preached so good, they was gnawing and biting. He still preached, they felt nothing, just went right on. He was a man. And they biting today. But preach. You ain't got to have a pulpit. He had no pulpit. He was standing right out there in the middle with just preaching, just going, telling the truth. And they was getting just as mad, but he told them the truth. And the Bible says that Jesus stood up and said, I'm in agreement. And when your life lines up, he'll be in agreement with you. He'll back you too. Amen. Your tongue can write the pages of your life. Your tongue is meant to write the pages of your life. Jesus says, I am the author and the finisher or the developer of your faith. Now, he's the one that put faith. He says that he's given, and I noticed this, he's given to every man the measure of faith. He's the author. He gave it to you. And then the Bible skips the center and goes and says, and he is the finisher. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. Now, get over here in the middle. He's going to help you develop it. But your mouth got to be involved in the center process. He gives it. He's the finisher of it. But in the center of it, you got to say something. So how does he do it? He gave you this. The Holy Spirit saying, let me renew you on this. And all while you're speaking this, Jesus is developing your character. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 10. I'm just hitting these scriptures right quick because I'm going to get through with this today. And Ephesians 2 and 10. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do the good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking the paths which he prearranged ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prepared and made ready for us to live. When you decide that you're going to walk the path of your destiny, provision is prosperity is there. You don't need God's abundance if you're not going to walk in destiny and use it. Because see, God's got covenant on his mind. And the Bible says that he's given unto us the power to get wealth that he may do what? Establish his covenant. Deuteronomy 8:18. If you're not going to help him establish his covenant in the earth, you don't need abundance. You just need your needs met. And he does that. He'll take care of your needs. But for you going to walk, for those that want to walk in the abundance, the overflow, you're going to get into destiny. And you're going to walk the path and you're going to talk the talk. Or you ain't getting it. It's just that simple. I mean, I'm getting to the point now. I'm just finding out, flat out reality here. There is just if God dumped abundance over into your life and you have not decided to do destiny and walk destiny and live for him, it's going to pervert you and you're going to end up hurting yourself. The Bible says that prosperity ruins the fool. I don't know where it is right now. I have to go find it. But it straight out says that prosperity ruins a fool. A fool is one who says in their heart, first of all, there is no God. And then there's another fool that got the truth and still decide. Now, you're a real. Now, first of all, it says that only a fool will say in his heart that there is no God. They're not the same ones. So what you think he's going to call the ones that don't met him and still said and doing the opposite? So if you ain't going to walk destiny, then there's no need for you to be talking about, the overflow in my life. It's not coming. Because God's provision, God's abundance, God's money that he's trying to, and the Bible says he's going to transfer the wealth of the wicked to the hands of the just. I guarantee you it's coming. And it's going to be made available to everybody. He proved it in the story over there about the talents. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, he gave one 1. And it was all according to their own ability. So you notice that nothing got one. He didn't have hardly no ability. God didn't waste nothing. He took care of his need. Didn't waste. He let him have his chance, but he didn't waste too much on him because he knew he was a fool. So no, God's not going to waste the wealth and put it to the hands of a nut. Somebody who won't walk and do what and help him establish his covenant in the earth. You know, so now if you don't want to walk in destiny, you know, you just, I just want to just go to heaven. All right. You know, just sit there in your seat and wait for the rapture. Your needs will be met. He'll make sure of that. But, you know, don't try to go no further past that. Now, if you want to get on over to the abundance of God, you got to roll up your sleeves and get busy. God puts abundance in the hands of a doer. Not a hoper and a wisher one day. No, somebody going to do. All right? Let's look at where do I want to go? Oh, man, I got so much. Let's look at Genesis, the 12th chapter. I want to make this point. I got several points to make and then I'm done. I got to make this one. Because a lot of times we're walking in destiny. You'll start walking and you're walking your path in. Or you will allow the lack of revelation about your destiny to make you stand still. Now, this is an important one here. That's why I'm going to stop here and take some time. A few minutes. If you don't understand God, you will stand still and wait and think that you're in faith waiting on him to show you, to lay the whole thing out there for you. And actually, you're over in a doubt, unbelief, and fear. But you'll think you're in faith, because I don't did it. And I thought I'm actually operating in faith. I'm believing God. And actually, what it is it's fear and doubt and unbelief. Now, let's look at, I'll prove it to you right quick. Genesis 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now, to understand that, you got to go back up into the 11th chapter. Because Abraham's father had already decided to take his and move his family to Canaan. But he died on the way. So the Lord showed up and started talking to Abraham. Because just now Abraham didn't know nothing about, and their daddy was moving the family. Abraham was going. So, but now daddy's gone. But God's intent is still to get to Canaan. So he shows up and he tells Abraham, read from the Amplified Bible, it says, "Now in Haran the Lord said to Abraham, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country." Now, away from your country means your familiarities of life, which you're used to. Go away from yourself and from your relative's house, just your comfort zones, to the land that I will show you. So Abraham had to go, not because daddy was going. So you can't say, "I'm going to walk in destiny because Works of Faith Ministries is walking in destiny." No, 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 no. You got to go for yourself. See, Pastor Brown, stand up here. I'm going for me. Even when it comes to Quantra, now there's a destiny there's a destiny that I have to take my family with me. But then there are some things in life that God has destined for her to do as Quantrell. See, husband and wife can't get wrapped up and lost in one another. Although you're one, but she has purpose too. Because what happened if down the line, I decided to say, forget this gospel crap, and I'm going back out into the world. Now, what if I said that? And she's wrapped up in me. What's going to happen? She going with me. Now, but if she's walking her own destiny, she said, "You know what, you fool? I'll pray for you." And that's what I would hope she would say. "You nut. I will pray for you. See you when you get back. Lord, go with him." Ain't that what the prodigal son's father did? He didn't stop him. He divided him out his portion and said, "I'll be at the edge of the road when you get back. Because I know you'll be back." All right? So you got to have your own. But it says, go for yourself, Abraham, for your own advantage. Now, no, it says, to a land that I will show you. The man's walking, don't even know where he's going. He says, to somewhere where I'm going to show you. Abraham started walking. Now, he knew daddy was trying to go to Canaan, but Abraham ain't knew nothing about what Canaan had. All he's going where, that's what God told daddy. Now, here's he talking to Abraham. He said, "I'm going to show you." So just because when you start walking, when God starts revealing destiny to you, just because you don't see the whole picture at the first initial point, don't get nervous. Go anyway. Go see for yourself, for your own advantage. Go anyway. Because I promise you, and I'm learning it, unless you take the first step, you don't need to see step 3. If you're not going to walk in faith and take the initial step, then what does he need to waste any more revelation on you for? You won't act on, and you won't put any obedience to the first thing he told you to do. So don't wait around. The moment you start feeling in your heart, you start getting, and you've gotten that confirmation of that thing that God said, if you get in it. Now, I'm not saying if the Lord told you. Now let me clarify this. The Lord told me to preach. Oh, I just got a revelation. The Lord told me to preach. So right away, I go out and start a church. I'm Pastor so-and-so. Well, hold on. The first thing that you need to do is the Lord called you to preach. You need to get in the Word. You need to get in books. You need to get in all kind of information and find out. Once you identify the area that God's called you into, then you get all of the godly information that you can get on that subject, and you just get it in you. That's your first step. And as you gain wisdom, then God reveals. And then you step. And then he revealed. And then you step. And you reveal. And he's just, and you move with him. So just because destiny appears, you just don't just jump and just go, woo, hip hazard. No, you make sure you understand exactly. You like I said, an arrow. When I pull my arrow, when I pull back that bow, I got a target I'm aiming for. So I'm going to study on how to pull that bow back. So when I release it, it's going to hit its target. So you do the same thing, all right? But you got to go for yourself. You can't go because mama said go. You can't go because daddy said it's the right thing to do. You got to go for yourself. You got to go for your own advantage. And the Bible says when you do that, you approve for your, it'll prove itself out. And I read to you earlier that that kind of expectation in God never, ever, ever brings you to a point of shame. Always remember, if you walk in by faith and you out there by faith and you out there with God, and you a doer of his word, and you out there, you just geared up to do his will. I promise you, I don't care if you made a mistake, you still won't be in shame. God will take that thing and get it straight, and you'll still be moving. Amen. All right. The Holy Spirit's gonna lead you. You just write these down because I'm getting close to time here. Isaiah 48:17-18. I want to read that one. It says, thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. He is the Holy One. He will teach you how to become a prosperous individual. But notice, it's going to be in the way that he's leading you to go. No prosperity if you're not going to walk. See? Because then verse 18 says, all that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then have thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Unless you walk, unless you follow God, unless you hearken and do the commandments, there will be no peace, and your righteousness will not be like the waves of the sea. It's only when you get in the path and you walk. Amen. John 16:13 lets you know that the Holy Spirit is will lead and guide you to all truth. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Proverbs 16:9. I want to read this one too. Proverbs 16:9 says, I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. A man's mind plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. See, you got a whole bunch of plans in your mind. The Bible says a way to seem right to man, but the way thereof is destruction. It says, but when the Lord directs your steps, he makes them sure. Amen. Jeremiah 10:23. I want to read that one. Read it from the Amplified Bible, too. O Lord, please, Jeremiah, in the name of the people, I know that the determinations of the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in a man, even in a strong man or in a man at his best to direct his own steps. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how established you think. I don't care how much you think that you all that in a bag of chips. You cannot direct your own steps. There are things that go on in life that will happen in the future that you have no idea about. I guarantee you that there are many billionaires and millionaires that did not understand and did not know what to do after September 11th and all their money started flying out the door. Because the stock market's crashing. But if they had knew the Lord, then they trusted their confidence wouldn't have been in Wall Street. It would have been in the Lord shall supply. It would have been in the word of God. Amen. So, and they had their ways established. I'm going to live this long and I'm going to have this for my grandchildren, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But little do they know. See? And then you got the rich, wicked folk out there right now storing it up, heaping it up, and they thinking they living high up on the hog, and they enjoying it, just don't know that the day is fastly approaching where it's going to be stripped out of their hands and put into the righteous people's hands. See? So, but they got their life planned. And then you got some born-again believers that, and I'm not against education. Go to school. Get your education. But don't let your education be your means to success. Let the Word of God be your means to success. Because you get your education and you think that you think your education is going to get you to destiny, but your education can't do for you and open up doors that God can open up doors and things that God can do for you. Amen? So don't let what you can do in your own effort be the only thing to determine whether or not you're going to walk in destiny. Let God establish your ways. Let God make your path sure and your steps straight and sure. Amen? All right. Luke 4, 1 and 2. I'm just going to give you these. You can write these down because I don't have time to read them. Luke 4, 1 and 2. And this deals with the Spirit of God leading Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. The point that I wanted to make here with this is, do not get nervous when the Spirit of God, while you walk in your path of destiny, don't get nervous when you're led into grounds for testing. Nothing's wrong. But you're just like Jesus had to go through it, testing grounds, you will too. And there are reasons for it. All right? James 1. Verses 3 and 4 gives you the first reason for you to have to go to your testing grounds. And it says that the trying of your faith worketh patience, character in you. When you go through testing grounds, so you don't know what's wrong with you until you hit a test. You really don't know if you've been delivered from alcohol until you hit a situation where you would have grabbed that bottle. You really don't know if you've been delivered from the thing that you're delivered from until you're face to face with that thing. Now, it ain't God showing it. God don't need to take you through a test to figure out if you need to move on. He's trying to let you see the areas in your life where you need work at. So when you go through testing grounds, that is the place where you step to find out if you're going to say, thus it is written, or if you're going to do the old former. Amen? So don't get nervous. The next thing is found in James 1, 13 and 14. And this says that no man is tempted by God. But everybody is drawn away by their own lust and desires that's in them. So the testing grounds to show you what's in you. See, God knows what's there. And see, the Spirit, now know the Spirit of God is who led Jesus into the wilderness for testing. And the Spirit of God will lead you too. Now, he's taking you to destiny. He's there. And they're seeing, now notice, he said, well, why would the Spirit of God lead me to some tests and some trials like that? Why? Because he knows he's trying to purify you. He's trying to perfect you. And he ain't worried about it because he know he's all powerful. So if he leads you on up in there, understand that once you get in there, he got enough power for you to do what? Stand. And having done all to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And then after you get through, he'll lead you right on out and take you up a notch. Amen. The last thing I wanted to talk about was, we've already dealt with it. If you're not going to walk the path of destiny, you will not. There's no need for you to walk in the abundance of prosperity. Amen. It just won't happen. The last one I want to read is Matthew 5 and 16. I'm through. Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And you've been predestined to do the good works that he's planned beforehand, taking the path that he prearranged ahead of time for you to walk in them. Amen. And the Bible here says, let me from the Amplified Bible, let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Destiny is designed for your life to show up on the path with a life that's in destruction and turmoil, and for them to be able to be, through your being blessed, for you to be able to empower their life so that they can get over here in the goodness of God. And by them getting the goodness of God, their life will touch another life, and their life will touch another life. And it's just like what God told Abraham. If you would go for yourself, for your own advantage, to the place that I show you, then I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you, and you will be a blessing to others. If we will go and walk the destiny that God has provided for us to walk in and do what the Holy Spirit is desiring for us to do, our lives would be empowered to such a point to when you come in contact with somebody else, the blessing that is upon you will transfer to them, and then they too will give glory and recognize and honor God in heaven just like you are, until all the families of the earth have been blessed. Amen. Praise God. Stand up.